The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, January 7th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, we continue our series about global citizens. No, Bahamian global citizens who are doing big things abroad. Today, via Zoom, because he's in London, England right now, because he lives between Nigeria and England, United Kingdom, and he's doing basically business where he involves the Bahamas and, of course, Africa and, of course, Europe in the various organizations and businesses that he conducts. I was excited to get this interview, right, because he has a great social media footprint of what he's doing abroad. And I said, we need to recognize our global citizens who are doing wonderful things, right? Today, I have via Zoom, and he has also his assistant for Expo, China Bahamas Expo. And I'm going to bring that conversation in a little bit later in the conversation. But today, I have via Zoom Mr. Elliot Kelly. Mr. Kelly, I'm going to make sure that he's on my Zoom link before I start the interview questions. Go ahead, Mr. Kelly. Are you there? I guess we're not connected yet. Kermit, see if we can make sure that Mr. Kelly is in the Zoom room and that he is connected and that his mic is not muted. We continue to work on that. In the meantime, let me just read a bio for him as we set that up and sort that out. And that's Mr. Elliot Kelly. That we have on the Zoom. He's in United Kingdom at this present time, preparing for this China Bahamas Expo that is happening later on in the year of the year. And of course, Kermit is trying to connect us. Still trying
Thank
to do
you.
That.
Good day, everyone.
Oh, you can hear me, Mr. Kelly.
I can hear you now, clearly.
Good. So let me just read this bio so people can be familiar with who you are. I already made sure that they're aware that you're what I call a global Bahamian now, who live in right now abroad in between Nigeria and the United Kingdom. I mentioned that you have a China Bahamas Expo coming out soon, but I just want to read your bio so people be familiar on why I desperately sought you out to have this conversation. So give me about 30 seconds, and then you can join in the conversation by adding to this bio that I have for you, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks. So, okay, of course, I have on via Zoom, Mr. Elliot Kelly, who is the CEO and founder of Pan-African Caribbean Gateway. He's an entrepreneur, business consultant, and a mentor with a global footprint. Along with his team, Kelly is set to lead an upcoming Bahamas to China trade mission, fostering cross-continental partnerships and advancing inclusive trade. Mr. Kelly is a best-selling author of 5 books, translated into 7 languages and sold in 29 countries. Elliot has been featured on CNN and BBC3's Be Your Own Boss. That's what the 3 B's are. His work has earned multiple accolades, including shortlisting for the Author Academy Award and nominations for the MBCC Awards as Most Inspirational Person of the Year and Mentor of the Year in 2023. Through his ventures, Mr. Elliot champions inclusive trade, cross-regional collaboration, and empowerment across the global south. And without further ado, I introduce to you Mr. Elliot Kelly. Good morning, Mr. Kelly.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning to you, sir. It's really a pleasure to be here. Happy New Year to those persons I haven't spoken to as yet. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you.
And you was just recently home. Let's start off with that before you jet set back to United Kingdom. How was your stay here back in the Bahamas?
You know, I love it in the Bahamas. If I could get myself a Radler and some Scotch Conk, see family and friends, most importantly, and just that bonding. I spent some time with my niece and my sister on Goodman's Bay, and that was just an enjoyable experience. The sun is just on your body. You get to go into the sand and the sea. So a nice experience, old friends and acquaintances, and a bit of business, a few very important visits, which we'll speak about shortly. Thank you.
Yes. And just so that my listening audience can appreciate your family lineage, your time living in the Bahamas before you jet set to the United Kingdom, living, because I mentioned that you live basically in Nigeria and the United Kingdom. But just to get an orientation of your lineage here in the Bahamas, who are you? What school you went to before you decided to move abroad?
I like to say the government high school. So shout out to all the magics that are on air. If you hear this in the recording, I know I'm really pleased to be a part of the government high trajectory. Everything that came out of government high turned to gold.
So, and I continue the narrative. After you left government high, and because I want to see how you became this global citizen to make sure inspire other Bahamians to that opportunity awaits them also, or it's possible for them also. After you left government high, give me a narrative on how you get to be living in Nigeria and United Kingdom.
Certainly. I think formal education is always preceded by what happens informally in the household. So I am originally from a single parent home. Shout out to my mom who's passed, Franzetta Johnson. She was an author. She's an educator. And she was my first role model as a single parent. Her values, the values that she shared would be being honest, having manners and respect. I get to talk about it all the time. Her favorite quote was, manners can take you throughout the world. And I honestly believe that, Nuri. I believe that manners can take you through the world. When you give off a certain energy, you automatically receive it back. It is reciprocated. That manners took me on to the hospitality arena. I worked at the Atlantis Resort. I served there. It was a great experience learning about service, learning about the currency of service a little bit more deep, and then understanding what the founders of those operations, what their psychology was like. So I was always impressed by role models. Part of their characters may be bad, but some of their parts of their character I could glean from persons like Merv Griffin, persons like Saul Kirzner, institutions like the Club Med. I was always inspired, like, what makes them work? And amazingly, bringing it forward, something me and the Prime Minister were speaking about earlier is this idea that ideas can travel. And that's what the Saul Kirzners did. That's what the Merv Griffins did. You have one and only Ocean Club is around the world. Marriott does the same thing. Hilton does the same thing. So hospitality in itself, apart from government high school, hospitality was an education for me. Those life experiences, I wanted to cement those with business and analytical skills. That was my gap. So one of the first things my mom taught me was how to do a SWOT analysis. And I realized quickly that I had practical experience, but I didn't have the business and analytical skills to be globally competitive. I was speaking to someone, a researcher recently, and we grew up in government high at a very important time. At a time when we were not taught that Bay Street or Paradise Island was the end of the world, we grew up in an era where persons were traveling to Miami, Atlanta, further afield to New York, to Las Vegas. And my family, I think I hit the lottery. My family had these experiences, and we were fortunate in some ways to be able to tag along and get to travel from Miami to Orlando, to jump behind the wheel, to move from through Atlanta, to go to New Orleans, to go to Alaska. Tasting those experiences allowed me to bring that back and share that knowledge with the people that I grew up with. Some of the persons I grew up with, I grew up on Cowpen Road. You asked for context. I grew up right on Cowpen Road. So a lot of Haitians were my relatives. A lot of Haitians were my friends and family. These are the people who I gleaned on their culture and they gleaned on my culture. So we shared experiences. I was always about learning. Excuse me. So lifelong learning became a part of my process. I continued on to university to follow on to a master's degree in international tourism management, continued further education in higher education, second master's degree. I was making a joke with a friend earlier, and then I'm now doing my PhD studies in embedding employability in higher education. I have an MBA in international relations and diplomacy as well. So I believe that you can never know enough. And then the biggest lesson I learned, and this came from my household, is that you can have all the degrees in the world. If you're not a personable person, if people cannot relate to you, if you can't deal with people, then you're going to have a problem. You're going to struggle.
But now you live abroad, right? After accomplishing all of this education and business and involving yourself. But I can understand living in the United Kingdom, living in England proper, London. But how did you end up in Nigeria?
Absolutely. So the mother of my son, she's from Nigeria. And those trips to Nigeria to see him really, it opened and exposed me to a new way of living, a new culture. I quickly assimilated into the culture because you, as Bahamians, we're very, very good at being able to survive, being able to move about. One of the first things that I learned there is this entrepreneurial culture. So how I got to stay there, because I was hungry to learn more. Like, how do these people generally, with very, very little, do so much? I've always been inquisitive. I've always been into research. So I've spent some time researching there. Because of my networking skills, I was able to communicate with local government officials, as well as elders who are very, very, very knowledgeable. What I learned is that we're not so different. The Bahamas is actually, it's just a spin-off. We're like distant cousins. So all of the words, the language that we use, Juk, Bungi, Igern, and Ien, all of those came from Africa. So I really fell in love with the tradition. I love the clothing, and I wanted to share it. And the more I shared it, I realized that I wasn't the only person who was interested about learning about themselves. Maslow's hierarchy says that self-actualization is probably the top, or it's at the pinnacle of his hierarchy. And I think that's something that we should all thrive or strive towards. And that's what I'm working towards, learning more about myself. Bahamians are generally interested in learning where they come from. So we have an automatic connection there.
You tend to travel around the world. I mean, you can see from your social media posts, from your blogging website, that you get to meet a number of head of state. You were here locally, back in the Bahamas recently, and even having meetings with our head of state, even in presenting your books that you have written over the years. I want you to give me a brief narrative of the books that you have written, and give me a narrative of why you travel so much, the objective, the goals, and have that juxtaposed on the possibilities for other Bahamians to do something similar.
Absolutely. The premise came directly from my first mentor. One of my other mentors, other than my mom, was Dr. Miles Monroe. So shout out to him. And even though he is late, his legacy still lives on. And one of the principles he spoke about was kingdom. It ties right back. It's very circular to what Merv Griffin and Saul Kirzner and all of the other moguls that we learn from or can model where they get their premise from. And when you think about kingdom, this entire kingdom is at our disposal. We have access to it. One of the things that globalization has done, it has reduced and taken away some of the barriers to access. So what does that mean? So it's not so superficial. That means that everyone on this call should be writing a book. Everyone on this call should be podcasting. Everyone on this call should be able to communicate their passions, their ideas. Now, does everyone have the ability to do that? Yes. Can everyone do it at the start? Possibly no. But it is a learned skill. These skills are learnable. The communication skills, the problem-solving skills, the analytical skills. These are global skills. So you asked a very important question earlier, what makes me a global citizen? Well, you kind of answered it. The ability to speak and sit on the side of an elder, sweaty in Abeokuta, because you're going to be sweating. You know, you're going to be pouring sweat. And the odors may not be odors that you're familiar with, but just being able to ignore the odor and get the message. My mom used to equate it to eating fish. You take the meat and you spit out the bones. So yes, everything is not perfect in the Bahamas, but there is a lot of good, and we can focus on that good. That's what global citizens do.
One of the conversations we had recently, where I was debating you recently on opportunities in the Bahamas, and you mentioned that Bahamians need to be deliberate and intentional, that's what I think the word was, in terms of creating plans in order to address some of the issues that we face. And through your traveling, And then I want to have a narrative on what exactly is it that you do, right? Living in the United Kingdom. And through your travels, as you do your economic pursuits, what is it that you can recommend to the Bahamas in, broadly in general?
At first, I'm a businessman. So I believe in the principles of business, kingdom principles. I share that through communication. So many different forms of communication, whether that's print, this media that we're on now, and many other platforms. In one of my books, You Know More Than You Think You Do, the idea there was that we know that if we were to start growing our own vegetables, we can easily reduce the cost to a particular household. I love to learn. So I'm a teacher by trade. I did higher education research. And the word economics, it comes from oikonomikos, which means house and management. So back to Miles Monroe, he always spoke about management, and each one of us are managers. Some of us are effective managers, and some of us are not so effective. So then the opportunity then comes that we're not always looking outside, we're looking inside first, and that's the second book, Inside Out. It's a premise that we can develop our own skills inside, and then we can export that to the world. I digress to the conversation I had with the Prime Minister where ideas can travel. If you are good at sewing, then, you know, Bay Street is not the end. Paradise Island is not the end. You can share that with the world. You have access. If it's music that you're inclined to, you have a natural disposition with singing. We have so many culinary experts. My uncle is one of the best culinary professionals in the Bahamas. And I'm so proud of him. Shout out to Clement Williams. And, you know, we can share our gifts with the world. We're going to introduce Melissa Darvall later. And she had a product. She has a product called Shiver. So she's talented. She's sharing that with the world. We have Vijay Edgecombe. He's doing his thing. Buddy is doing his thing. We have people that came out of the Bahamas like Shawnee, Sir Sidney Poitier, Rick Fox. The biggest misconception, and I'm so glad, I'm really excited to be here today because I have some good news for the entire Bahamas. The biggest misconception we've been sold is that our product is sun, sand, and sea. Our product is the people, our talent. Thank you.
Our product is not the sun, sand, and sea, but the human resources, the people, and the talent?
Absolutely.
I have a text for you, actually. It's a text who says, good morning to your guests, fellow GHS alumni. I am a 1978 graduate of Government High School, and it's a pleasure to hear about your accomplishments. I just want to read that into the text, into the record. Someone wanted to give you some accolades. You have a guest, Melissa Darvall, who's going to be joining us here. She should be on Zoom. Hopefully she's able to hear me and that she's queuing up to join in the conversation, right? You're a businessman and you are making possible opportunities for Bahamians. And that's where you were here in the Bahamas, and again, speaking to the head of state and various government officials about this new expo. We've had African Expos here. We had a major one the other day at the Bahama Hotel where they brought the African Exim Bank here, and they were doing a number of opportunities opportunities here for Bahamians and Africans there. Your expo is going to be a Bahamian China Expo or is it a Bahamian African Expo? I'm just trying to clear that up to make sure I say the right thing. Forgive me.
That's great. It's Bahamas to China.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we're going to Africa. So
give me a narrative of what is expected. How did this come about? And corrected myself again, it's Bahamas to China Expo. Just make sure everyone hear that. And give us a narrative of what exactly that you're proposing or with this whole business deal. And then a narrative on how can Bahamians benefit from this?
Absolutely. When you're setting goals, sometimes to get to your goal, you realize that we spoke about the SWOT, and we spoke about strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. It's not just about reaching out to Africa. It's not just about reaching to Dominican or Jamaica or Barbados. The principle here is about bridging. And that means, Nuri, that you cannot have this show by yourself. you have to bridge with other people to come on the show. To make this a productive content for your audience, there needs to be other views, other cultures, other language, other food, other ways of thinking, other businesses. What we have now is like you running your show. I'm a teacher, so I'm going to give you practical analogies. That's like you running your show by yourself, Nuri. Is that possible?
Yeah, man. I'm listening.
You
sorry.
Can run your show by yourself.
No, I definitely. No. I definitely listen. I say, yeah, man. I understand what you said. Forgive me. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So this opportunity by bridging with China, China has the resources. China has the factories. China has access to restructuring some of the trade routes. If we can use or work with China in conjunction with our initiatives, which is basically bridging South-South trade, this is not just about the Bahamas. The regional thinking is not limited to one space. I mentioned kingdom principles before. So we're not just talking about one part of the world. The Bahamas has an opportunity to serve as a hub for the rest of the region. So please get me clearly when I'm not saying this is only about the development. The buck does not stop at the Bahamas. We can serve our entire region. We're well placed to do it. Let me give you an example so you see where I'm coming from. $40 million was just dedicated to a lady who is going to be working out of Barbados. And she's going to set up a special economic zone. So they're spending $40 million to set up a special economic zone that we already have a special economic zone in Freeport, Grand Bahama. Imagine if we were able to use those funds to push us or accelerate us even further. So we have natural advantages that people are paying for and not small money, big money. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me.
Okay, good. You talk about what's in it for the people. Job creation. You look at the unemployment in 2025, the first quarter, not so good. Second quarter, we got a bit of an uplift.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, unemployment has been unstable. So as a strategy, economic strategy, we can look outward. Why keep on doing the same thing? Albert Einstein, a very, very recognized person, he said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So I'm trying to propose, along with my other people, it's not just myself, there are a number of people that actually believe that it can be implemented. This is not airy-fairy. Jobs, SME growth. If you look at the tickets for the licenses last year, you had approximately, I think we moved from 141 million in receipts to about 203 million in receipts. So there are more businesses on the table. People are moving towards businesses. The educational reforms, I heard it earlier in your earlier shows on The Guardian. Bahamians recognize that the skills that we have are mismatched with the skills that are demanded by a global society. And that's what we're trying to do. These opportunities, by bringing in staff from China, by bringing in students from China, by bringing in staff from Africa, by bringing in students from Africa. You just heard it on the news. We have a staff shortage in nurses.
Yes.
We have a staff shortage in teachers. These are not airy-fairy ideas. These are the realities on the ground. Just because I'm in London and Nigeria doesn't mean that many other Bahamians, we have our finger on the pulse. We're qualified, and we do have something to contribute as far as national development.
I want to ask you a quick question so you can answer. Why China?
They have the resources. They have the funding. They have shown an interest in funding in the Bahamas. We do not have to take on any specific ideologies, and we do not have to prostitute ourselves. What we can do is put ourselves on the level where we are leveraging relationships. The biggest lesson I learned from my mentor, you can always get money. It's about relationships, and we need to shake more hands. We need to be leveraging these relationships. Afrexim came in. That was great. Let me give you again, reality. Afrexim had that meeting. Was it July? I think it's July. It could be July. It was last year, 2025.
Yes.
And I was told by a number of businessmen and women on Bay Street that they were out of stock.
Mm.
They have written directly to policymakers to have the Africans come back as soon as possible, like yesterday. Please bring them back. Because they emptied Bay Street. Jewelry, clothing, all the tourist items that we have, emptied. Straw market, emptied. So why not?
So they go ahead. I'm sorry.
They have the purchasing power. It only makes sense. Any idea that I share, number one, you can verify it with either rigorous academic research or you can feel it yourself. The conversation we had on Facebook, we were talking about one of the disadvantages we have in the Bahamas is we do not know what the species, the plant life, and the other species in the Bahamas, we do not know the nutritional and health benefits in a systematic or well, robust research way. If we knew that, we could decrease the amount of non-communicable diseases in the Bahamas. And that impacts a lot of people. High blood pressure, diabetes. As soon as I say those two keywords, I pull in half of your audience. Automatically 50% or more. That was a conservative number. So these are realities. We can benefit from the knowledge exchange. We're looking at Abiakuta to have persons come in and teach rice plantation in Andrus. There's an allocation in Andrus we're looking at. So these are real projects that we're working on, not just theory. So writing books is fine. It's a beautiful thing. And I love to focus on my books. Don't get me wrong. I love to talk about myself just as much as the next person. But I'm not here to sell books. I'm here to sell people on themselves. Bahamians on themselves. Every person listening on this call has a dream, and every one of your dreams are valid.
So let's talk about this trade mission. You plan to be the head of this delegation, this trade mission to China. It's going to be on April 26th. Explain.
April 13th, 2026.
Through the 29th. Give me how Bahamians can take advantage of this. What do you mean by trade mission? What can be expected on this trade mission?
Absolutely. We're going to two areas. Some Bahamians have traveled to China before, so this is an excellent opportunity for those persons, as well as people who have never been before. They probably didn't have anyone to trust to take them down and show them how it's done. The first question comes up, where are we going? We're going to Iwu. And in Iwu, Iwu typically has five districts. I'm going to share with you fashion, hardware, stationery, textiles, and imported goods. I know we're pressed for time, so if you want more information about Iwu, as well as Canton Fair, which I'm happy to share, I have my assistant on the line as well. You can get in contact with her, and she can share information with you as well. The opportunities are for you to go there, be introduced to suppliers, pull the trigger on sourcing directly from China. What this does in monetary terms, it cuts your cost by 30 to 40% automatically. Then some negative person will say, what about the shipping? We have shipping advisory teams. We have brokerage teams. Not only that, you get to make the connections. People only do business with people they know, like, and trust. So you get an opportunity to know your supplier, see if you like your supplier, and hopefully develop some sort of rapport with those suppliers. That's priceless.
So this is when I have you bring in Miss Melissa Darvill into the conversation. Because Miss Darvill lives in New Providence, the Bahamas, right? You live abroad. So she's basically doing all of the groundwork here and organizing here in the Bahamas here. And I want to understand, what is it that she's requiring of Bahamians who want to participate in this? What can we expect? What knowledge can we gain from all of this?
Hi, good day. Thank you so much for having me today with you. And what we're really excited to have this because we want to help the Bahamians to be able to increase their income. And this is what that the decision to go on this trip, that's what this does. Because you are able to now source via stores directly to factories and manufacturers, cutting out the middleman and able to put some of that profit back into your pockets. And when Bahamians are able to make more profit, they are able to put back into the community and they're able to create more jobs. Also, what we're doing is we're trying to introduce people in to meet like manufacturing companies so that those persons who have small businesses who spend a lot of time with menial labor, they can now automate some of these processes so that they can become more productive and decrease the amount of time they spend, henceforth making more profit. So we are excited because this gives us a way to build and to fix a problem that we have as a community, which is our cost of living. So we're helping We can't help every person, but right now the focus is on those persons who are the hustlers who want to buy something to turn it over, and those persons who have a small business and they want to put some innovation in it or get directly in contact with suppliers. And I've been shopping in India and China for the last 10 years. As he said, I'm the owner of Shiva Caribbean. So I was a manufacturer of ice cream for 10 years in the Bahamas, distributed to Bahamar. I had 40 locations around the island, Shell, Esso, restaurants, everything. So what I did was I made a choice. I got my manufacturing equipment. I could have gotten it from China, but I got it from India. But I got my packaging from China. And so what we, and that helped, that saved a lot. So I was able to get my cups customized for, I would say, about 10% of what I would have had to pay in the Bahamas. So shipping was not an issue. Volume is something that scares people. But when you look at shopping in volume, you save money over a period of time. And for Bahamians, you know, sometimes we can be short-sighted when it comes to money, and we just look at the quick savings at this moment. But when we start to have more foresight and start to do long-term planning, then we can really get into big business. So we want to take Bahamians from just making enough money to survive for this week and being the working poor to getting into big business. And when you get into big business, then you can try to get some of those contracts from the hotel. We import so many things, and we have so many of the suppliers in the hotel chains that are international, and they're importing things that we can easily make. And yeah, so we're excited. We're excited because we want to take Bahamians directly to the source so that they can save money and hence improve their lives.
There's a number of Bahamians who are listening now, right, who just now realizing that there's a trade show is going to be happening and they want to participate. They want to at least get some more information on it. Give me a rundown on how is that possible if they want to get more information about this trade show, this, and also where all you're going in China. I know Mr. Kelly started that, but I want to know each area you're going to and then a narrative of what is happening in that particular province.
All right. So right now, our first stop is going to be the Canton Fair, which happens twice a year. And it runs in the spring and then in the fall. And that show brings out all of the innovative products for the year. And what people don't realize is when they buy their products from the U.S., the U.S. are going to the Canton Fair to find out what they need to bring in. So when you go to the U.S. to buy something, that actually is the middleman. Because they're getting their production, most of them, done in China and bringing their things in as well. But they don't say that. So our first stop is going to be the Canton Fair.
And I'll pause you there and give me a narrative of what is the Canton Fair. So Bahamians listening could say, okay, I'm going to Google that. I see why I go in. You said the Canton Fair.
All right, okay. The Canton Fair is like a trade show. So we have businesses and factories from all over China that come and have an expo there. And to show off their new products, and it's grouped in different categories. So we have like a certain days they would have like solar power and renewable energy products, cars, electrical cars. Another day would be cosmetics, clothing. So it's divided into sections and it's grouped into different days. And each day or series of days features other products,
okay,
so that you can really zone into that. Yeah, so that's what that is. And then our second stop is going to be the Ewu Small Commodities Market.
Mr. Kelly started off with that. Pronounce the name again.
Ewu Small Commodities Market.
Tell me about that.
So that it's like a city. So each of the sections is based on different products. So you would have a section for cosmetics. You would have a section for textiles and shoes, a section for jewelry. So you need to plan before you get there.
Explain that. What I need to plan.
There are millions of products available and thousands, tens of thousands of different vendors and stores. So what you would do is you would say, okay, I know that I want to do some shopping for shoes and textiles.
I want Junkanoo stuff. I want Junkanoo stuff to import here and sell it to. So I go. I want compete against La Plumas. Go ahead.
Okay, you want to do that? So then you would So then you would go into the papers and stationery section, find your trinkets and things like that. And you know what's even better? You may not even just want to buy the product, but you could probably find a machine that makes the beads. Mm. You could find a machine that makes the feathers, you know, and we could take it back a step. That's always my passion, to instead of just being a consumer, be a producer. So when you go there, that's the beauty of it. You can see how easy it is to become a producer. And some of the very same things that we have, like Junkanoo, that's easy. Mm-hmm. We can get machines that make those beads that everyone needs.
And, you know, in terms of researching, so I can know what to research, so I can know what to buy, where do I do my research, or how do I go about my research?
Well, you could just on Google and on YouTube. YouTube has a lot of videos showing people walking through the different areas, so you can get an idea of how vast it is, mm-hmm. and what you need to do. Then you can Google. They have a website. The Canton Fair has a website as well that you can go on and find out information on the different dates and how you can do that. And then you can contact us.
Get in contact with us.
So yes, I can pause you here to find out how to get in contact with you now, since you mentioned it, so I can know, so I don't lose that thought. How to get in contact with you all. Then go back. Go ahead.
We have a website, BahamasChinaTradeMission.com. So we have a website. You can go there to find out about us. You can also contact us. WhatsApp 467-0319. That's my direct line. You can contact us and we'll get to you. We have an e-blast that goes out with everyone. And then we have everyone on WhatsApp as well, keeping everyone in touch. We just had a Zoom meeting on Sunday for those persons who already committed to coming on the trip. And we're already 1/5 committed to what we need. Our date, the deadline is February the 1st to make your financial commitment to come on the trip. And it could change your life. Okay. It could really change your life.
So now that's two places you call. Where else are you going?
That's the two places.
That's the two places there. Oh, okay.
That'll take you.
One of the things we're big on is sharing the vastness. Melissa spoke about the vastness of these places. For example, in Iwu, you can walk around for like 48 hours and still not exhaust the place. Mm. You're not, to give a concept visually, you're not talking about walking from the Hilton to walking to the bridge. You're talking probably about walking from the Hilton downtown to probably walking out east. Mm. And walking.
My God.
This is a lot of walking.
So let's talk about networking and how I can get my stuff back to New Providence. How does that process go about?
We're partnered with MSC. MSC is the shipper from China. And there will be consolidation booths there so that you can have your products brought back by sea. However, you do have the option of bringing your things with you. So we're saying a limit of 3 to 4 pieces of luggage for you to bring back with you. And
I can shop retail then on this trip?
Yeah, you can shop retail, of course. That's the beauty of the small commodities, because you do not have a MOQ that you don't have a minimum quantity that you need to purchase. So you can go and you can just purchase small amount of items so that you can test the quality of it, put it in your stores, see what the feedback is on it. You already have the contact of the person who sells it, then you could buy in volume. So it's a good way to test. Buy your products, test it out with the market, see which things sell quickly, and then you can go back. Since you've already met the person, you've already tried the product, and then you can order in bulk and let it come by sea.
Let's talk about the community that you have here locally. You already have Bahamians who have committed to go on this trip with you. I want to know what type of communication. You mentioned this WhatsApp group. I want to know the networking in this community that you've now formulated, who will be traveling with you.
Okay, working with, Ellie, do you want to tell them we're under the embassy and tell them about the Friends of China?
Certainly, I was just about to share. Nothing is done in silos, and that's one of the things we're happy to work in conjunction with and really been so supported by the Chinese embassy, as well as the Bahamas China Friends Association. So this is not a siloed operation initiative. The initiative is about bringing people together and to contribute to the value for medium to small and medium enterprises. What we found is that we have persons like Anishka, who was on the call the other day, who's interested in luxury goods. And I don't want to go into everyone's invasive business, mm-hmm. But at the same time, we have persons interested in the Junkanoo costumes, interested in production for cement, interested in solar panels. What happens in those groups? We're able to consult with them. The technology that I spoke about earlier that is accessible to everyone, we use that technology to communicate back and forth. WhatsApp then becomes a triage of information in a broadcast. If someone asks one question, that question may benefit other persons in the group who have similar questions. So that's how we use that platform. Melissa is there on the ground, and I'm back and forth between the Bahamas, Nigeria, and the UK. So that affords persons to lean on her understanding and exposure, as well as my understanding and exposure. Working in conjunction with the Bahamas China Friends Association, we also glean from their wisdom, as well as the experience and the rapport of the Chinese embassy. So again, holding hands, is networking is what it's all about. Melissa gave you some insight into the cycle, that what a cycle could look like for an entrepreneur: sampling, creating the relationship, testing, and then because the relationship has been developed, now going ahead with a bulk order. We cater to two audiences: Iwu more for small commodities, and then Canton Fair for larger quantities. She used an acronym earlier, MOQ. That's something you're going to hear a lot, the minimum order quantity. So in reality, there are some places where the minimum order quantity may exceed what you were prepared to purchase, and that would be at Canton Fair. However, you can find a representative at the small commodities market in Iwu that is associated, a sister under umbrella subsidiary, that will then cater to your specific requirements, that is a lower minimum order quantity. I hope that makes sense.
It did. But now I want to know about the concierge, or for lack of a better word, the person who organizes the trip. Like people like me who don't like traveling, right? But now want to go on this trip. And I want to know about the hotel. I want to know about the accommodation.
That's great. So we have a lot of finer details that we will not share online. But what we will share online is the fact that we do have a hotel accommodation. We have a dedicated travel agent. Everything is handled transparently, especially because money and funds are involved. I'm very cautious with how I deal with people's money. I like people to see what's going on with their money. And Melissa's the same way. We're respectable. We started as an honest and ethical business, and we'd like to continue it that way. We know that there's been some infringements in the past in the Bahamas. Having said that, there are two things I want to share. The trip does have an itinerary. We do have an itinerary for each day. Mm-hmm. But what we said on our briefing is that we're not your parents, we're not your mom, we're not your dad. So if on day two of Canton Fair, Johnny decides that he wants to venture off into something else, we're quite pleased for him to do that. What we do ask is responsibility. Melissa and I have a duty of care. I have a personal duty of care to make sure that if I brought Johnny to China, I want to take Johnny back to the Bahamas. And I think that's reasonable from a communication point of view. So yes, we do have an itinerary to answer your question. And we'd love to share the details of that by you or your persons who are interested, getting in contact via 242-467-0319. The reason I put the area code on there as my last bit is that we've had expressions of interest from persons from St. Lucia, expressions of interest from people from Malawi. And there was one other place, wasn't it, Melissa?
Yes, we have people from the U.S. as well who want to come on the trip. Yes.
This is a global trip and just head from the Bahamas.
It's not operating.
It's just the Bahamian delegation. Yes. But we recognize that our Bahamians are all over the world. The diaspora, they're all over the world. And the thing is now, Bahamians who are away are hungry to come back home, but they need something to do. Most people are saying they want to come back home, but they need to have a business home. They need to do something. They need to have a way so that they can have the same standard of living that they had away here. And so we have interest from a lot of Bahamians who are abroad, who are trying to see, what can I do? What can I create? How can you guys help me? How can we collaborate to create something back home? So I think it's going to be a surge of our geniuses, of our innovators, of our leaders who are away building other economies, coming back home to build us.
I'm kind of overwhelmed listening to all of what you're saying. And you're proud to hear that someone is organizing. Is there a social media presence that would have pictures, would have a narrative, videos to say, okay, I can research the local organization, the Bahamas Network here, and as you're going abroad, is there anything like that?
Well, we both have our social media pages. We didn't make a Facebook page for this event. We went with the website instead. Mm-hmm. But you can reach out at Elliot Kelly, his website. He has lots of things posted. And Melissa Darvo on Facebook, we have things posted. Elliot, I guess you can share your link.
Certainly. If you want, you can follow me on Instagram. It's Elliot Kelly Official. Everything is very transparent there. My Facebook is exposed. I get a lot of traffic, and a lot of the international interest comes from my LinkedIn page because it's a business social platform. So LinkedIn is Elliot Kelly. Again, this is not about just the Bahamas. We think that the Bahamas genuinely can serve as a hub for the rest of the region. And I think that's why we've been getting such a response, positive response. Persons that were on the call, I think it was a few days ago on Zoom, they were like, we really like what you're doing. They were praising Melissa and they were praising myself. And what they did say, as Melissa said, they want to come back home, but they don't want to come back at home at a disadvantage. Many of the persons that are abroad are living at a particular quality of life, and they would like to pour back into the Bahamas from a national development point of view, but benefit at the same time.
I'm going to ask you this question, and then I have both of you have the last minute pitch, right? What if I'm interested, but I just cannot leave the Bahamas at this present time, but I want to get in contact with one of two of the persons who are venturing off on this trip to say, hey, when you all go there, I want you to get this for me. Is that possible? And then both of you can do the last word as we about to conclude the show.
I'll share a portion on that. Persons have reached out already to me to get particular goods for them in the way of building and construction supplies, as well as solar panels, as well as mobile technology. I have quite a few orders for the iPhone 17s, as well as the XRs. So I think by getting in contact, 242-467-0319, you speak to Melissa or myself. We'll definitely take your order. The good thing is everything is transparent. One of the great things we love about the technology, we're going to be documenting, and you referred to this earlier, we're going to be documenting this entire process. This is not a one-hit wonder. We intend to go down to China quite often, and of course, the spin-off from this is also going down to Africa. So we're documenting every portion of this journey and getting live testimonials so you can see your loved ones moving ahead in the economy and hopefully be inspired to do the same. Finally, before I close, I believe that the Bahamas and Bahamians have an opportunity for a full life cycle. It's not just the end user retails resell. Melissa said it very clearly. We believe in being creators and producers, and that's what we're pushing, production.
Go ahead, that's Melissa Darvo who's going to be speaking next. Just now was Elliot Kelly. Go ahead.
Yes. We are so excited about this, and we really think this is going to be a true gateway for Bahamians to build and stop asking for permission and stop being passive and waiting for someone else to solve the issues that we need to solve and start creating the solutions ourselves. And it all starts with understanding what your gifts are, understanding what your talents are, and understanding what is available. And it's not just within our borders. Understanding that the world is smaller, and that if you can think of something, there is someone who already has that solution. And traveling is one way that we can do that. And so we want to take everyone to China so that they can get to the hub of innovation and to the hub of production and be able to benefit from it and have their households benefit from it.
So I need a contact if I want to get more information about this. Say it's now January. I know you leave it in April. I said, okay, let me quickly call you all. What is the number to call?
242-467-0319. That's my direct number. I will answer you and I will help you.
Okay. And Elliot, go ahead.
Yeah, my best bet, you can get me on Instagram or you can reach me on social media. LinkedIn is Elliot Kelly and Instagram is Elliot Kelly Official. Again, the contact details that Melissa shared, definitely reach out to me as well.
I want to thank you, actually. And the idea that this is happening, especially from a Bahamian living abroad and networking here, liaison with Melissa Darville here locally, and making it possible for more Bahamians to take advantage of the various opportunities, especially in a country where it has such a global imprint and where you can buy things in bulk. And now you're saying that I can even participate and buy things retail and just bring 2, 3, 4 bags and just pack my bag and say, I bring in these things back home to the Bahamas to sell. That's an opportunity. I thought it's good. Everything has to be bought in bulk in cases and stuff like that. But now you're telling me that I could bring my empty bags and go shopping.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. I'd like to thank my guests. Again, I want to thank Elliot Kelly, who is living in a Bahamian, living in Nigeria and UK. And I'd like to thank Melissa Darvel, who's an entrepreneur here, doing big business. That's the ice cream business you have, Melissa?
Yes, it was ice cream and sorbet.
Yes, they're doing big business here in the Bahamas, and they go into China. They go into the China to trade show, and they say, call them, and just so you can get some bit more information on it. So I'm proud that they're doing this, and expect big things, and I expect to see everything documented. So I can say, hey, I'm going on this next trip. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.